Okay, let's make a start then, please. Okay, so good afternoon, everybody. The more observant amongst you will have noticed I'm not Roloff. Roloff, sadly, is not very well today, and so I've been volunteered to just open the meeting, but I'm not going to be an active chair. I'm an SOP member as well, of course. So apologies from Roloff, and hopefully we'll see him later in the week. If you weren't here earlier, I warn you now, the acoustics in this room are not good. If you are going to speak to Mike, you need to speak fairly close to Mike because the sound doesn't carry very well. Anyway, this meeting is a follow-on from our initial discussions in Dakar where Kurt very kindly offered to get the involvement of this working group who have a high level of interest in strategic plan and all things strategy, as you may well have noticed, to engage at a more earlier stage in strategic planning. So we're delighted to have this workshop and for you to join us, Kurt. The intention is that this session be more of a conversation. To the extent that we can have a good conversation in this room, that will be a challenge that I'm sure we'll rise to. And so with that, let me hand over to Kurt to set the scene. Thank you.
Thanks, Leslie. Are there people listening in on this? Should we do like a... Like we would sit on the inside of the table and you could sit on the outside and maybe we can have a better, so maybe, should we try to do something to make this better? So we'll let you guys like sit on the good side on the outside and we'll sit on the inside. And is that all right with you? And then maybe we can talk. Okay. So staff's going on the inside of the table. And we're going to try and make this more of a meeting.
Okay. You have all the trucks.
Yeah, we'll see. When we're sitting in there, we'll see. If we have to use the microphone.
Well, maybe change the chairs a little. We can remodel the roof.
Seeing so many U-shapes, it's scary.
I can imagine.
This is not the room for the 2 days, though.
No.
That's all right, because if it was, Nick would be strung up by his neck if this was the room. Thank God for that.
So, just so you know, Mike and I have 1 o'clock to be elsewhere, but we thought we'd just come and say hi.
I was told that boss is not in. Yeah.
No,
I was hours and hours of time suffering.
Gee, the background noise is nice and quiet, isn't it?
Weird.
Good to see you.
Thanks.
Oh, we do have a Roman mic stand.
Whatever you're doing.
Sit down.
You need to see. This is a conversation.
Hello?
Hi, and welcome. Hello. So in a sense, strategic planning should kind of be fun, right? You're thinking about the long term.
Oh,
you're meeting up on the desk. Where should ICANN be in the next several years? It should be sort of reflective and have enough time to think about what we want to do in the long term. And we talked about, after a couple tries at sessions with the SOP to get input on strategic planning, I think we collectively thought that we were noodling words on the old strategic plan or creating not having a discussion at the high level where we thought strategic planning should take place. And so I think Roloff and the rest of SOP members developed this idea for a more extended session. And so here we are. In a very real sense, it's an experiment. It's the first time we're trying this. So I hope you look at it as an experiment and make the session work as well as you can. Akram and Carol and I are working on taking this sort of model and making it more effective across all of ICANN. We think the SOP is the best place to start because, in fact, you're the most active group when it comes to participating in ICANN's strategic plan. That time and effort that goes into that is well appreciated, as well as the time we're investing in this place. So what we've done is we sent around some materials. We've organized the program, and we've retained Larissa Gernick, who based on my short experience, I think will be great at being an independent facilitator. She brings a lot of talent and skills to this program. So unless you want to say something, Akram? So I'm going to turn it over to Larissa. She's going to be our neutral guide through this program. If you want to call a halt to the proceedings or make a suggestion at any step along the way, feel free to it again. Thanks.
Thank you. I feel like I'm competing with a lot of noise here, but we'll do the best we can here. It's absolutely my pleasure to be here with you, and I know we'll be talking about important things like Internet identification systems. So already I think ICANN's doing really well because it identified me appropriately. I am a complete newcomer here, and I'm listening, learning, and hoping to make this a really productive session for all of you here. Great. Moving right along. Okay, so quick review of the agenda. The first thing we're going to do is talk about ICANN strategy. And as Kurt said, we'll do that at the highest level, and we'll have some strategic questions to start with. Unfortunately, we don't have flip charts to capture the feedback and answers on, but we'll take notes. And we're looking at about 60 minutes, just as a time check, 50 to 60 minutes that we're going to spend on a high-level ICANN strategy discussion. And then we'll move into the discussion of the four pillars. And within that area, we have an update for you on the project, on the strategic initiatives and projects that Carol and Kurt will take us through. sorry, I mean, the acoustics are really dreadful. Aaron's policy development. These are all core issues that should be reflected in the strategic planning effort. I also put in here affirmation of commitments. We're not going to take a look at them now. They're lengthy, but I think you're all familiar with them. And please keep these documents in mind as we go through the strategic conversation. So, where do you see ICANN 3 to 5 years? Let me just pose that question and stop talking for a moment and start listening.
So is there a way to parse that question? First we want to exist. Yeah. Do we want to remain what do we see different? I guess the question is, we want to exist, and then, how are we different? And then if we think about how we're different, maybe we could parse that by, how is ICANN different in its policy development processes? How is ICANN development different in its technical coordination, those sorts of things. So I think what Larissa's getting here, though, is, can we start with any broad statement about where we think ICANN should be vis-a-vis the rest of the Internet governance and domain name system coordination process?
I think why we kind of went quiet is because that's a hell of a big question. It's a difficult starting point, but that's good a starting point as any. For me, there's something that's always been there but has been missing in some of the statements around who for. Who is ICANN doing this for? And so the current mission doesn't quite capture the public interest, the non-profit nature, the multi-stakeholder nature for the benefit of everybody, not just the people who participate in discussions like this one. Maybe that's a starting point.
Maybe that's a great place to start, is really a discussion and an identification of who all those stakeholders are, who are the audiences that ICANN aims to serve through its mission. I'm sorry, I don't know anybody's names yet, and my little chart. please.
My name is Sabine Dolro. I'm for 13, and I'm not sure if we really should talk about who else should we serve, but should we really try to discuss because what we are seeing is that the ICANN framework is getting broader and broader and broader. And when I look at the mission, what ICANN is actually tasked for, I see a lot of issues we are discussing right now at this meeting, which has nothing to do at all with the tasks on the mission list. So basically, when somebody is asking me, where would like ICANN to see in the next couple of years, it's making a few things right and not making even more things even more complicated. And so what I see is that especially when we are talking about the mission and we are talking about the technical coordination function of a few identifiers, we have incorporated in the last couple of years a lot of tasks where ICANN actually should exactly do nothing about it. And the DNS is a hierarchical system where there is a clear function where there's a delegation of authorities also done, and where we really should, and when the DNS was established, there was a clear guidance where the authority of some entity at the DNS level starts and where it's finished. And at the moment, we are trying to we are seeing that we have been giving up these clear authority. That's your authority, that's my authority. And we are intermingling it. We're saying, if we are delegating you a top-level domain, you have to do that and that and that and that and that. Instead of saying, we are delegating your authority, what you are doing at that stage is, at some stage, and at least for the CCTL this is defined, it's clear local policy. And I don't understand why that has to be in this GTLD area completely different. And I think we should rather discussing to even more incorporate even more people is where are our limits and do we really stick to our limits and do we, as I can say very much more often as I can explain now, that's not our business. That's not in our mission. That's not in our core function. We don't have to deal with that. And that's something I would be really looking forward. I would love to see ICANN developing in that area.
So if I may paraphrase, make sure that we're all on the same page, what you're saying is looking for ways to filter based on the mission and the core principles to define what is within scope of ICANN's purview.
Exactly.
So let me pose that question to the I'm sorry, that's Chris. Hi, Chris.
I can't stick around for too long, but I just wanted to say, so where do you see ICANN in 3 years' time is a really good question. Samina, you've talked about a heap of things you see ICANN not doing, and what I've got to say is basically very similar to that, but in a slightly broader brush way. I'd like to see ICANN in 3 years' time as being exemplary at its knitting. And in respect to other internet governance issues, I'd like to see it being a respected advisor, facilitator, standing at the back of the room, contributing when asked to. But one of the challenges with that is getting clear on what is ICANN's knitting. And if you're clear on that, then the rest of it comes with time. But it's about getting clear on what it is we're supposed to do, doing it in an exemplary fashion, and getting respect, and contributing when asked to. And sometimes that contribution, Sabina, might be we have no contribution, but we should be contributing when asked to. Thanks.
So for me, that's about being really good at a narrow role and discussing actually what we mean by a narrow role, because this narrow role, as it currently stands, is actually quite big too. There's depth to it.
May I? Thank you. Leonid Todorov, .ru. Let me offer a broader perspective by paraphrasing your question as to where ICANN might be in a three-year period of time, because you know, my sense is right now that ICANN is slowly but quite consistently drifting into very, very turbulent waters, because we know just that recent news that the IANA contract has been prolonged just for 6 months and with no applicants successfully meeting all the criteria. With that strive of certain nations, to one of which I belong, to replace ICANN with some other structures, international structures, intergovernmental structures, not necessarily multi-holder based structures. So in other words, I would say that this is one aspect of those challenges ICANN might face within 3 years from now. And also, there is another important issue, and I just thought of that because I would say that the major challenge for the ICANN is the ICANN itself. Because let me just reference to that decade. Was it 10 years ago when first new GDLDs were launched? And that was a fairly simple procedure. And, you know, there were just some of them, not so many, but they were awarded by the end of the day. And if you check those applications, I mean, they are, well, they are nice, they are humorous, they are quite substantive, but nothing compared to what we now are requested to do in terms of these new GTLDs. So that excessive bureaucracy, that search for legitimacy, as one of those papers about the ICANN, recent papers maintained, is one of those challenges which ICANN face. And Chris talked about that exemplary performance. So I believe that this might be one of those challenges on that path to that exemplary performance. Thank you.
I'm Oscar Robles from .mx, GCTLD for Mexico. I've seen an evolution on the process, on the planning, on the strategic planning process in ICANN, and I see a good evolution on that regard. I think that we've seen this mission, core values, and all these things that are starting to actually get together and tell us that you are doing the right things. But I would expect to see in the next 3 years more attention to the second core value, which is limiting the ICANN action on the global coordination, which is, let me just read it, by limiting ICANN's activities to those matters within ICANN's mission requiring or significantly benefiting from global coordination. So I think that in some way what others were saying here, that I would see less activities but more effectiveness in what ICANN should do, paying attention to limiting his role on the very specific things that ICANN has to do.
Thank you.
So do we want to talk for a couple of minutes about what are those things ICANN has to do? Oh, I'm
okay. Hi, Giovanni Seppia, .eu. I'd like to make a point regarding this process, the strategic and operating plan process of ICANN. And it's a point related to two elements that this community, as well as other communities, they have pointed out several times. And those two elements are consistency and continuity. And I think that in the past 7 years, we have been looking at major improvements in the way ICANN has been liaising with the various constituencies and communities. However, what we have seen also is that sometimes there were some changes, and those they were not, let's say, well explained to the community. And that has caused some confusion at certain points in some communities. So I think that even in this strategic planning exercise that we are doing, if I look back, I can remember that ICANN in 2005 was conducting this kind of consultation with the community. And I do remember that, for instance, in the ICANN meeting in Marrakesh, there were multilingual consultations involving communities speaking Chinese, Arab, French, and other languages. And that was a process that was, that let's say, lasted about a couple of years. And then it changed again, and then a bit again. And I'm not talking about evolution, I'm talking about changes. And at some point, I believe it would be preferable for the community to see an evolution instead of changes. At least that goes to the consistency of the process itself. Otherwise, you risk that the community at some point, they miss the links between one step and the other.
Thank you.
Thank you. So in terms of really defining what is the appropriate scope, narrowly defined, so that it fits within the core values that were raised, let me pose the question, what would be some of those activities that would be within the scope?
So the most popular one for this community will be IANA. And also maybe I could add a kind of a rider to scope generally, is that in an organization's strategic plan, you'd also normally see the kind of ambition. Now, I'm not talking about ambition in terms of new products or whatever, but ambition in terms of quality, for example. So I guess one of the hot things for this community would be flawless IANA services or something of that nature. So it's the description that says this is what we're aiming for within that time window as well.
So for me, your comment was kind of a trigger because one of the... How we're going to go through this discussion is we are going to look at the four pillars. And so I wonder if we should go get into that and try to, you know, answer Oscar's and Sabine's question about what the role is in terms of each one of those pillars. Maybe we could start with that. Does that make sense? And so you know the four pillars in the strategic plan, Oscar. You know, security and stability, promoting competition, those general categories in the strategic plan. I'm wondering if we should get into the discussion of what ICANN's role is vis-a-vis each one of those four things rather than globally, or should we continue to talk globally for a while?
Well, the thing is that there are so many things that when you are defining your strategic planning, you're not able to define a specific goal, which may trigger specific activities and actions and deliveries. So you ended up investing a lot of money, a lot of resources, and broadening your activities and your operation. And that's good because you should complete and fulfill that broader definition. So we have to work in narrowing those pillars and be more specific in what exactly we mean with security and what exactly we mean with stability and security, for example, or healthy internet governance ecosystem. That's a huge thing without bottom, that we are putting money in, and we won't feel comfortable in any time. So we may put $100 million there, and we will be working there. So that's one thing. So I think that the philosophical principle here must apply we see the governments. Governments have this legal system that they are allowed to do what is specific worded in the constitution or in the laws, in local laws, and they are not able to do something different from that definition. ICANN is not a government, but may behave like a government and do exactly what is and inside what is defined in that scope. Otherwise, we're just growing and growing this bureaucracy. And as every single organization in the world, more is better. So it's growing and growing, and we have to put some limits, specific limits, and we have to agree on that. Those pillars are perfect, but we have to be more specific.
Well, since we're talking about the pillars, you ended your comment by saying the four pillars are perfect. I'd like to ask the group, are the four pillars the right four pillars? And then maybe we can get into the discussion of the various strategic projects that currently make up each one of those pillars and take it from there. But any commentary on the four pillars?
Hi, I'm Byron Holland from .ca, and I think the four pillars are, without doing a blue sky exercise, an appropriate place to think about strategy here, particularly the DNS stability and the core operations pillars. The one that to me is a little bit concerning is the notion of a healthy internet ecosystem, or internet governance ecosystem. That is extremely broad, and just building on Oscar's comments, it's an endless space. And if that is going to be one of the pillars, it has to be extremely clearly defined. And I would suggest that that's actually going to be a very difficult one for the organization in the long term. If you read what the specifics are, right, to ease global participation and those types of things, that sort of makes the assumption that ICANN is a convener. But if it's a convener, what are the topics that are going to be discussed? And if it's, I think it makes it very difficult to have that pillar there. If ICANN is strictly going to be a convener or a forum or an enabler, then how does it control the topics? Because generally speaking, the topics often are going to range far and wide outside of what ICANN's core functions are, which I would argue are the second and four, or rather, sorry, the first and third pillars. So I think the fourth pillar is the one that concerns me and has to be very narrowly defined. And I would also say, maybe just harkening back to the previous conversation for a moment, as the organization matures, it really needs to step forward in terms of its professionalization and support for continuing to secure strong staff and strong processes internally to build a really strong foundation, because that has often, in my experience, been one of the challenges that it faces. But I also just one final comment, to give credit where credit is due. I've been involved in the strategic planning process from this working group's perspective since the beginning of this working group, and this year's strat plan from ICANN is a significant step forward from previous years. So I just want to, you know, acknowledge where good progress has been made.
I mean, I'd like to support Byron's comments. I think for me, the first three pillars, the DNS stability and security, competition and consumer trust in this area, and core operations, including IANA, are what ICANN does, what ICANN should do. The fourth one, that the healthy internet governance ecosystem, is more or less the environment that ICANN is operating in. And ICANN on its own can't ensure a healthy internet governance ecosystem, but it has a part to play. So they're kind of different things, I think, to me, in terms of where they work. And the first three are the core business, as I understand it.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And I don't know if there's a way to differentiate that in the plan and show that. But it's definitely part of our strategy, though, because we want to affect it, but we also want to swim in that ocean and survive with the other fish.
Yeah, it's not the sole territory or the sole responsibility.
Sabina.
Yes, Sabina.
I'm a little bit puzzling. In principle, I'm agreeing on the four pillars, but with the recitals less in make. On the other hand side, the headlines are so broad that everybody can understand everything amongst them and incorporate it. And why don't use actually the wording from the mission? Why don't saying coordinating an allocation of the unique identifiers or coordination, the operation and evolution of the DNS root system, instead of saying DNS stability worldwide, which is something which is much more broader. So why trying to, if you talk about DNS stability and security, it's obvious you're not only talking about the DNS and security and stability, which is in the hands of ICANN and where ICANN is actually responsible for, but you're also talking about the DNS security and stability of the resolver run by the cache resolver run by the German Telecom in Frankfurt. And I'm not sure if ICANN is responsible for that. I thought about that. So if you talk about the DNS system as a whole, You're talking about a huge bunch of operators. You're starting with root server operators. You're having the TLD operators. You have the 100 point whatever million secondary domain name server operators. You have the resolver, the resolving name server operators, which are all of the ISPs worldwide. And you have sometimes the people at home running their own DNS server. So you're talking about a real global system interacting with each other. I think ICANN is responsible for a part of that, for a very important part of that. They are responsible for the coordinating of the DNS at the root level. But that's it. And not for the DNS as a whole, because there are so much operators in there. ICANN can actually contribute to the evolution of that system. They can coordinate with other very important operators about that. But if we're talking about hundreds and hundreds of millions of operators worldwide, and ICANN is not responsible for all of them.
Akram?
Yes, I think that we're all in violent agreement. I think that it is true that the pillars can be interpreted wide or narrow. And the purpose of this is to facilitate how do we interpret these pillars. So start with getting some objectives on the pillars, and then from that get to some functional things that we need to do. And we would like to get from that even further in getting these functions measurable so that we can deliver operationally on these commitments that we make to the community. So I think that the discussion has been, the space is wide. How do we define our limitations so that, in my view, if we take it as wide as it is, we will always fail anyway. So it's better for us to define it as narrowly as possible and agree on where our role is so that we can put some metrics and actually deliver to these metrics, because that's the only way we can be successful. And I think that's the exercise that should get us there.
Hi, my name is Peter Van Rosten. I'm the general manager of CENTER. We're the region organization for Europe for ccTLDs. Two things just to add to the discussion. I think that basically agrees with what people have been saying before. When I listen to my members of the European ccTLDs, it's obvious that the core function, including IANA, are for them the primary function of ICANN. That's what they consider to be the most important thing. Depending on who you talk to, you will see other things added to that, global policy coordination, IDNs, obviously depending on the regions. My second point was that, on the healthy internet ecosystem, I think we shouldn't be naive and consider this as a somewhat dangerous pillar, because it's fluffy and it could be as broad as possible. Because without it, there probably wouldn't be an ICANN. So I would even see it as an absolutely a condition for ICANN to enable ICANN to do the rest of the stuff. So I would be very careful not to underestimate the importance of that fourth one.
Thank you. I would like to suggest that we move into the four pillars and really get into the substance of the kinds of points that all of you are making. So the four pillars, I think everybody found them on page 5 of the handouts. And then also following that, there's a update that has been prepared that we'd like to walk you through, and I'm sure that this will prompt some questions and discussions that will hopefully help us identify the scope and the kinds of projects that this group feels would be helpful, as well as how to define more specifically what ICANN's role is within each pillar. So I will ask Carol to take us through that for the first pillar, DNS stability and security.
Thank you very much. First, I'd like to show you there's a key on page 8 of the handout, and the reason for that is to help understand what the matrices that you're looking at. The very first column was the strategic objectives taken directly from the one-page, four-column effort. That's the very far left column. The second column is the strategic initiatives and projects that were identified in the second row of that four-page, or just so you know where they came from. I think that's important. The third column is some operational projects that are very specific that we are doing in support of those, so you can see that work. And then the next two columns, the next one is project status, and this is, if you will, a quick high-level status, if you will. Either something is new, which means it's funded in FY13, it's continuing, it's a multi-year, and so it's still on the list to be completed. The next is something that's been completed within this FY12 year. And then the last is a core project, a core element, which means it is transitioned from a specific project to ongoing work that we are doing within the ICANN's core set of activities. And then the next column after project status is something called comment. And within comment, we either said it was an ongoing activity, it had a one-year expected completion, a 2 to 3 year expected completion, or a 3+ year expected completion. And that was to give you an idea of where those projects were and when we anticipated them completing their efforts.
And, you know, the exercise is not about going to on these projects and just discussing these projects.
Right.
The exercise is to look at these projects and actually say, you know, some of these projects we shouldn't be doing, some of them we should be doing, additional things we should be doing. You know, it is, you know, a starting point, but not the goal.
So I don't think it's helpful to read every one, but I think if you look at the very first one, and we thought we'd just start with the first pillar, and then we'll kind of do them one pillar at a time. Kurt, did you want to say something?
Sure. So I just want to, one reason for this document is to describe some sense of progress that have been, that's been made on the, on these objectives. But two, I want to just echo what Akram said. We really want to talk about, you know, each pillar and what you think should be done. So I would view this document as more of a guide and not to review each project like Akram said, but rather, okay, we've got this on our desk now, but I would invite comments, you know, what we think ICANN should be doing with regard to each pillar, and not necessarily relying on the projects here.
So to start for the DNS stability and security, you can. I'm just going to deal with the far right side of this, so you can follow along. But maintain and drive DNS availability. You know, we consider that a core activity. It doesn't have a specific project at this point. And I'm going to say this, in doing this table, there are a lot of overlaps between other work and this work, so please don't think that there isn't work going on. It's just I tried to sort them as quickly to help give the visual opportunity to look at the work. The next is enhance risk enhancement and resiliency. You can see that there's some core work as well as the advocate IPv6 adoption, and as you know, that's continuing on. The RPAKI effort is continuing 2 to 3 years. The DNS capacity building is continuing for 2 or 3 years. The facility Who is Evolution is also, and the implement best practices for DNS business continuity planning. As you know, that is continuing, and there has been quite a lot of published material for that, but it is still moving forward. And the information security plan, we've done a draft already, and we'll continue to update that. So that's a quick example for the first pillar. And I'm going to stop at the first pillar and open it up for dialogue.
So let me ask the question now that you've seen this. Are these the right projects? What's missing in here, if anything? And are these the kinds of projects that would be within the scope for this pillar?
Thank you.
I'm very sorry, and I'm sure my position is maybe a little bit too radical for most of the people in the room, but if I can find to summarize it, I say maintain and drive the UNESCO viability for LROOT. Great. Good job for ICANN. Maintain and drive the UNESCO viability for DE, not your job. Not for .de, not your job. Enhance risk management resilience of the DNS IP address parameters as long as it's risk management for the IANA function and not throwing away the cables. Great, your job. Doing it for a registry which is outside ICANN, not your job. Promote the broad DNS MAC adoption as long as it's for the root, great. As long as it's for others, not your job. Enhance international DNS cooperation, and when I see facilitating whose evolution is the project there, what has whose evolution to do with DNS? Nothing. Improve response to DNS security incidents on the root level, great. But otherwise, yeah. So, that's my first follow-up.
And so, you know, I really don't want to get into editing this list, though. So I really, you know, we really strove to have you kind of say what should be on this list. And it'd probably be worded in a different way than might be here. So we wanted to get your ideas what should be on the list, and rather than make it a checkbox. And so I wanted to get, you know, if you have a comment about that, great. And then in the bylaws, or the core values, there are broad statements about, you know, promoting DNS stability. So are you advocating that ICANN does that by example through its LROOT and IANA performance and limit it to that?
No, but I think a huge portion of DNS stability is that ICANN is providing the one and the only unique root, so that we have a very clear and unique root, and I'm not sure that it was ever meant that there was an extension to the whole technical DNS system. So there is a real value in there that there is a unique root. And that's ICANN's mandate to maintain that unique root. But I'm not sure that there is really a broad response, but the DNS is a system of, let's say, delegation and you delegate authority. That's explicitly in the protocol. But by delegating authority, it's very clear that the authorities will be the other one who has the mandate of them. And especially when you're talking about CCTLDs, we had a long, long, long discussion when we were talking about the scope of the CCNSO, where we really, really clearly tried to define and succeeded to define that where ICANN's mandate starts and where it ends, where the CCTLDs. And I'm when I talk to people within my country, there is a clear understanding that for the .de domain, the only and solely responsible person or organization is our organization. And we are the one being in charge for Germany to run that system. And nobody will run to ICANN and say, oh, please tell DNIC to make things otherwise. And I think that's in all the countries that's the case. That might be different with GTLDs, but still then, there are organizations and they have a clear responsibility for what they are operating.
So okay. I'm sorry.
Tizzy Monaghan from .nz. I agree with Sabine about the fact that CCTLDs get their own parameters. But what I think would be good in something like this is reflecting the fact that I do believe ICANN's got a role to help, if you like, the sharing of knowledge between the G communities and the CC communities. And then things like DNSSEC, for example, which is down there, I think some of the initiatives taken by some of the CCTLDs, the Gs could actually learn from, and vice versa. And I think the whole thing about acknowledging the difference, that the fact that we can share and that ICANN is a forum where that, if you like, sharing and knowledge, you know, interaction can actually take place. And that doesn't really come through in this, and I think it is a key role for ICANN and what they can achieve.
I agree with Sabine's general vision on this, but as a principle, the thing is that when IANA or whoever delegated the first CCTLDs and GTLDs, they didn't put too much attention to the technological conditions of the designated authority, I guess, that named the RFC 1581 mentions. So you cannot undo that without creating more risks. So if we are in the ideal situation, I think that Sabine's comments should be applied. Everybody is developed. Every CCTLD and every GTLD has a good conditions of the technical conditions, political conditions, stability. Everything is okay. So ICANN should not get into these other branches of the DNS to define things, because that's what the RFC 1581 establishes. They are delegating the authority under that branch. But there's that situation that this is not the ideal situation. This is slightly different, and I'm not talking only about CCTLDs. There were some things differently done in the past when no one put attention to the technological capabilities. Some of us have had a good evolution. Some of us haven't had any evolution on that regard. So I think ICANN should look into creative ways to help those that are willing to be helped and step aside from those that are not needing that help. Okay? And I have some ideas in case you are interested.
Well, let's hear the ideas.
Sure.
But I think this is kind of like the brainstorming session that we want to see, is that if there is an opportunity for that you think ICANN should be doing something and we're not doing it, this is the forum to try to get it done instead of we do it, it's not in the budget, it's not in the plan, and we're asked to do it. We want to plan it so that we can do it right, and then we want to put the right metrics so we can succeed at it. So if there are activities that we should be working on, then should be this is the right place to put it on the table. Also, I think that somebody mentioned that ICANN's role of a facilitator in the space is actually what we do, and that's true. And I noticed that we don't talk about it in this, but there is a working group that's trying to scope this pillar itself on the stability and the security of the DNS to narrow the scope of this and how, what is our role and what we should be doing as well. So.
Before Oscar's wonderful list of ideas, I would just caution generally there's a danger of adding stuff. So whenever we have these kind of discussions, we talk about what else ICANN can do, and you'll end up with quite a wish list at times. But also, we haven't really approached this from the other direction, which is what do we stop doing? What actually, you know, there are not limitless resources, limitless people, and so on. There's quite a lot of constraints. And so the tendency will be to add as opposed to subtract, and I think we've got to guard against that tendency.
Thank you, Leslie. I agree 100%, but also I think an important way for us to add or subtract is to put the whole list and put a priority. Because if we're doing something that is not as high priority as a new idea that we should be doing, I think that exercise would facilitate this.
I agree, but it's more than priorities. It's actually making sure something's not on the list at all. Oscar.
Yeah. Besides my role of as CEO of Dotemex, I sit on the board of directors of LACTLD, which is a CCTLD association of Latin American and Caribbean region. And we were discussing about these things in the last 3 days, and one of those ideas is that there are some resources allocated for new GTLDs in some specific countries or including organizations with the strong need of doing this kind of projects. But there's no resources for already delegated CCTLDs. And some of them we recognize have a strong need in several fields, not only in the technological part. But maybe I can should work with regional organizations, CCTLDs regional organizations, to define what kind of help should be provided to them with funds from the community, or I can manage whatever, with some conditions, like the situation in Europe. If Greece wants to receive some money, they have to define some internal things. Europe are not going to define the specific things Greece has to do, but if Greece has wants to receive money, they have to do those things. So I can should not step into, let's say, Haiti or Honduras or some .cc's with strong needs and define the things that should be made. But if they want to receive some help, they should have some political definitions in place, sustainability definitions in the longer term, in order to ensure that all that help will be really beneficial for the stability of the DNS and the already delegated TLDs. That would be one idea.
So, for example, that's a, I think, a noble idea to help TLDs that are struggling. I think that's a space probably better suited for the CCNSO organization to define a policy or something like that. And so, I mean, if we get some recommendation from your, you know, from your CCNSO on how you'd like to do that, and because we're not the right, I don't think we're the right people to say how to implement something like this and what to do and how to do it. I think it's a good idea, but I think it needs to mature and maybe it needs to be worked up within and then come up to ICANN.
Just to mention it, with regard to the bylaws, that's definitely not in the scope of the CCNSO nor in the scope of ICANN. I understand the issue, and I'm very sure that there will people being around assisting struggling CCTLDs, but that's not in the scope of ICANN. It's not in the scope of the CCNSO.
Are there any other comments on the scope as we look at DNS stability? I know we moved in a couple of different directions, but are there any other specific comments on the scope, what's within scope and what might be outside of scope on this list?
Larissa? Yeah. So I want to respond to Sabine. So I agree with your original assertions. And so my question is for guidance from everyone, is that you discussed the maintenance of the interoperable route, and the CCTLDs operate their own entities. What's ICANN's role with ensuring a safe, stable, you know, single interoperable route kind of environment? What's our role for preventing the formation of alternate routes, or ensuring there's support in the broad internet community for a single route?
I think adding unique identifier is necessary as fast as possible if it's necessary. Being consistent while changing name servers for that single entity, and with regard, let's say, with regard to the whole TTLD, new TTLD discussion, when you look at the IDM discussion, how long it actually take to come up with really to add those IDMs where they are really evident. That it took more than, I think we have in 2003, the first IDMA standard was actually brought out. And with .de, of course, we don't only have Latin, but we opened up the .de space for IDMs in 2004. And I was very, very sorry to our community that it took us 1 year. And I was, and since then I followed the discussion within the ICANN framework, and there is still, I think one year we added last year. So it took more than 10 years, it took 8 years after the first standard was issued to come up with a unique identifier. It was clearly defined within the standard that .ru, that's unique. It was obviously that there is a TLD operator being able to maintain it. But it took 8 years to come up with a standard. We're seeing a lot of discussions about user confusability of IDMs, where I don't think that's, personally I think it's not on the scope of ICANN to discuss confusability, while on a technical level the identifier are unique. I'm not sure that there has to be a discussion on a global level that somebody in China may be confused about some Cyrillic character in Russia or some Greek character somewhere. We have had all these discussions over 8 years, and it blocks people with real interest from entering into the space. I discussed with Arab colleagues who say, you in the U.S., and now not in the U.S., but you in the U.S., your children, they can actually use the internet in their own language. Our can't. And similar was in Russia. And I think that, and we are discussing about people who are confused because they might see in whatever confusing character which they haven't seen in America since years. And I think that's, if you really, really want to look at what the people need, you should ask them if there are real people who need it. And of course the word is a little bit more confusing, but it doesn't really prevent the problems. And be responsive to what the people need globally. And not so that would be my. Yes.
Leonid?
I'm going to try to conceptualize what Sabine has just told us, because I agree, I fully agree. The problem, again, lies in that too broadly formulated mandate on the one hand, and that quite understandable strive for, covering whatever aspect within the ICANN's reach. So I believe that if we try to narrow down the focus, that would be an organization which is completely technical, depoliticized, with some kind of, I would say, touch of educational efforts, with very clearly set communication channels, with a minimum of bureaucracy. As Sabine has just told us, very attentive to all those, let's say, technical needs of the global community. That would be, if that underpins the strategic initiatives, then we would just certainly be wholeheartedly in agreement with ICANN on every issue. So this is again, as I mentioned before, the problem is not even that external environment which we have to cope with or address. Rather, the problem is, somewhere in the ICANN, and something should be done about that mindset, if you will. Thank you.
So maybe I can be slightly, essentially not very correct, as it were, but I think there's some language in the strategic plan
that sounds great, sounds very worthy to do capacity building, to do capability building, and so on. But because that's quite loosely worded, that could be taken to be no end of very worthwhile things. And that's where you get the discussion around, is that ICANN scope, is that somebody else's job? And of course, you know, a lot of organizations are quite financially constrained. Therefore, that's a kind of temptation to open up the floodgates for all sorts of requests that can be squeezed under those headings and could in effect be quite a big distraction for ICANN. So what I'd like to see, whilst those are worthy things to have, is some sort of feel for scale and limits of those, because I foresee, particularly with the GTLD income coming on stream, etc., that there will be even more pressure for things like that to be done by ICANN, because here you are, it's in your strategic plan, so you should be doing this. But I would still like to see those things going on, of course.
In order to clarify some of the possible wording broadness, do you see this as something that can be more clearly defined, to Akram's point, where the objectives are worded in a more precise way, perhaps not on the one page, maybe that presents a bit of a challenge, but that it would start with a more specific wording of the strategic objective, which would then lead to a more specific definition of the strategic project and all the way down.
Absolutely, which then in turn makes it easier to measure and show that you're meeting the metrics, but importantly it would help manage people's expectations as well.
Thank you. Well, I'd like to move on to the next pillar, if we may, competition, consumer trust, and consumer choice, so that we can give at least some consideration to all the important pillars that we've got here. So if you can please turn on page 6 of the handouts. Carol had already walked you through the framework for how these charts were developed, so I'll give you a couple of minutes to review just the general nature of the project, the strategic objectives, and the operational projects that are underway. Carol? How about some comments? Do these projects generate any thoughts in terms of areas perhaps that require a little more definition and clarity?
So I have two kind of questions. Maybe I'm being a bit thick. But the last one around increasing industry competition, the project is about expanding stakeholders. So I'm not quite sure how the project links to the strategic objective. Maybe it's because we're in shorthand mode, as it were. I had a more general point, and I forgot what nerve it was. I'll come back to you in a minute.
while he's doing that, I've remembered my general point, which was the affirmation of commitments was quite strong on measuring ICANN's effectiveness in this area over a period of time. And I'm kind of assuming that somebody else is doing a loop back to the AOC to check that those initiatives will deliver on those commitments within the respective time frame.
And so the AOC requirement is really to measure the effectiveness of this task, right? It's seeking to attach some metrics to the introduction of new GTLDs.
The AOC is not just seeking to measure.
I know that. But one of the tools is to measure the effectiveness of the new GTLD program by. By that? No. By measuring the, by seeing if the goals of the new GTLD program, as specified in the policy, were met, and to determine if changes were made. If you expand stakeholders, they just get really big.
When I compare our business with usual business. When I talk about competition in usual business, I have usually the possibility that the people entering the industry are able to come up with new ideas, new business models, new things, and that they can actually get success with it or they fail with it. What I see within the ICANN framework is a complete harmonization of the industry. Everybody has to do the same. And I see there is no potential for failure because we see that somebody is sitting in the background and taking over and is holding our hands and telling us what exactly to do. The question is maybe ICANN should think about using the usual definition of competition, where they are allowing more playground for the people in the market and letting them fail. Why not? Where's the problem if the users know that they can fail? If I buy my washing machine with an industry operator, and a washing machine is actually much more expensive than a domain, I always have the potential that it fails. And it's not a real big problem if it fails. If there is really somebody interesting to take the business over, we'll find somebody. And if the business is not valuable enough to be taken over, then let it fail. So maybe we should look a little bit more in the usual type of businesses where failure is part of the real life. And I'm not sure that we actually have to build up an environment where everything is harmonized, every business is taken to every registration has to be done exactly the same, and the TLDs are not able to fail. And ICANN is the protector and regulator of all of that. But that's how it currently looks to me, how all the things are implemented. But I'm not sure that that's something which we have seen a similar model in the whole rest of the industrial life. Maybe we should look more for, of course, if it fails, we need a sort of cooling down or protecting a little bit, but I'm not sure that we really need such amount of additional protection to usual businesses who want to generate revenues and, of course, are able to fail.
So I think a new GTLD is more expensive than your washing machine, but your washing machine is more expensive than the domain name. I agree wholeheartedly that innovation results from the environment where people can try things and fail, and some people try and succeed. And I don't think the new GTLD program is antithetical to that. I know that policies were put in place to have a soft landing for registrants that rely on their registration in GTLD, but I think encouraging innovation also recognizes failure. And maybe we don't talk about that enough when we have these discussions, but I think that we're encouraging innovation and some failure is going to result.
I don't feel as relaxed about my domain failing as I do my washing machine failing. So if my washing machine fails, I've probably overloaded it, but I still manage to operate my business. If my domain fails, I'm not quite so relaxed about that. I think also, particularly from some research we've done in the UK, the whole kind of trust of consumers and businesses in the internet will fail if there is widespread failure in this industry. But probably trust won't be affected by my washing machine breaking down, one would hope.
I wholeheartedly disagree on that. And I have seen the failure of KPN Quest, which was one of the major ISPs in Germany, and there was no provisioning at all made for another thing happen like that. I think it's we live in an industry where things can fail and will fail, and people will see a potential to merge and find other ways.
Maybe we need to pick this up offline, but I think, yes, there's innovation, yes, there's some failures, but I don't see the failure of an ISP or whatever as quite the same as a TLD failing and the effect that failure could have on trust in the rest of the TLD market.
Leslie, so if I may follow up on your comment, what do you see the role for ICANN in that capacity to preserve the trust?
I think that goes back for me to the things we've been talking about all along around the whole, you know, flawless operation, so that any failure isn't down to a failure in ICANN's operations particularly.
Are there any comments, any other thoughts on scope in this pillar? Okay, why don't we move on to core operations, including IANA, page 7. So please take a minute to review this, same deal.
Not to burrow down into specific things, but I can't help but notice that the FSR financial system is listed as complete, and I can't help but recognize that we've been asking for information and we keep being told that there is work to be done on the financial system. In fact, I think, if I recall correctly, we're on stage 2 of 4. I'm just curious as to how this reconciles with that.
So the FSR is complete in the sense that we've delivered on what the original plan requirements were. We are interested in all of the data since July 1st in the financial system. There is a reporting effect that is to get definition. I think that from the the learnings of the FSR to do some improvements. There are main people that we've seen as that complicate for users.
That's definitely trying to get in on the conversation.
Oh, yeah. He's trying to inject noise into the conversation. There's definitely some user interfaces. We're not getting the data we would like to get from every entry in the system. There's also some simplification that we would like to do the way the data is being produced. So there are some additional things that we'd like to get and the results that we want to get. There's some database complications that we have to find alternatives to make it simpler also. So these are the few elements that we're working on right now.
So there's done and then there's done, and we're not quite there yet.
Yeah, I think that it doesn't
quite accurately reflect.
No, it's not quite complete reality. as in the sense that we can deliver to every all the ambitious goals that we had. It's disappointing, of course, to see that we have the structure to get the data so that we can slice and dice everywhere we want to, but we're not being able to get the data because of the. Every user has to be able to get the data in. It's not as user-friendly as it should be. So it's disappointing from that aspect, but I think that we need to still keep our goals the same and just figure out how to get there. So
I guess, I mean, I was going to ask a similar question, but more broadly on each of those headings. So if you take an HR management system, a human resources management system, the activity is about kind of putting the system in, but actually that's probably only part of the overall thing, because normally you're putting a system in order to better manage your resource or better make sure that you can process increases or leave or whatever. So in a way, I guess probably what we're seeing here is a window on one bit of activity that's towards a broader aim, and the same with the finance system. So you put the system in. And then when you've done that, of course, you then have the work about better reporting and better analysis as a result of having put that system in.
Yes, for sure, Leslie. And actually, to be clear, the continue label includes this fiscal year. So the 1 year would show the FY13 as we defined it earlier. So to be clear, that continue does not mean we're done on it already, but it actually should be finished in this year. Now, on all of these systems, yes, we're, for example, HRMS is for a company with 150 employees, we're much more international and much more complicated than a real company that would have 150 employees. So from that perspective, even though we're small, we behave like a much bigger corporation that is in a lot of different places, has employees in more than 15 countries, and you know, all of these kind of things that provide more issues that normal companies our size won't see. So we're implementing all of these things to improve, because we're going practically on the HR, we're going from an Excel spreadsheet to a system. So it's that much of a leap that we're taking right now. And the system will include at least two different HRMS systems, one local in the U.S., one outside. So it is a big jump.
So you're selling yourself short on the objective, because the objective is to better manage your people as opposed to just putting the system. Yeah.
And I want to follow up on that point specifically, actually, that I think that you're looking here at tactical objectives as opposed to what is more the strategic goal of said system, right? That it's, however you want to measure success within HR, there's all kinds of different ways you can do it, but it's to create that high-performance culture and high-performance team and world-beating HR environment, right? I mean, to me, that's a strategic goal, and this would simply be one way to facilitate getting to that goal. So when I look at core operations, and excellence of core operation, I don't see here what I would think you'd want to see in terms of what is the objective here. And that's but one of them. And when I referred earlier to building that strong foundation of a company or an organization upon which you can pile all the more sophisticated issues that ICANN has to deal with, this to me is that core foundation, and I'm not sure it's being articulated clearly enough here, and maybe it's not being considered in the way that it should be considered in terms of building a world-class, high-performing organization. Because these are tools, these aren't the goals. I mean, obviously, putting it in and implementing it, there is a set of goals to doing that, but that's not strategic to me. This is just an enabler, not a strategic goal. And I would like, I think we should see those reflected a lot more here. I mean, these are all important systems, but what are you trying to get to? Just ticking the box that software is installed is not the strategic goal here.
Giovanni.
Yeah, thank you. Just like to highlight one of the strategic objectives, which is the international relations. And that also goes back to the first question, how do we see ICANN in 3-5 years' time? How do I see now ICANN in terms of international relations? I see it still far away from being recognized as a real international organization. And unfortunately, that goes back to the fact that there's been a lack of continuity in the international relations sector. So my recommendation would be, I don't know what is the work behind defining internationalization principles, but my recommendation is really to make sure that continuity is there. As currently what we are seeing, and I can speak about Europe, that there is a big gap between what are the European organizations, international organizations, and ICANN. And that is primarily caused because of the lack of continuity in the past years. So, again, I would like to recommend you to include the aspect of continuity in the international relations when developing and thinking about them. Thank you.
Giovanni, is there... Can you define that as a strategic objective? You know, what is continued excellence in international relations or global relations?
Well, to me, ensuring continuity in international relations means that when you start a dialogue with any international organization, no matter if it's big or small international organization, this dialogue is a regular dialogue, and there are no 6-month gaps when answering a basic question or when addressing a high-level principle. And that doesn't, show a good profile of ICANN. On the contrary, it shows that there are many issues, internal issues, that are still to be sorted out. And I don't want to give examples, but fortunately or unfortunately, I have plenty of examples at hand. And again, that to me is a sign that there was something that with a really minimum common sense could have been avoided. And this common sense, again, is linked to continuity in relations. This is really crucial to a real international organization, that whenever there is a dialogue, the dialogue is continued, even to say hello from time to time. It's not always to discuss important matters, but just to say hello, here we are, ready to help, ready to share our expertise, ready to share what we are doing. And if this is missing, again, it's a long way to become an international organization.
Go ahead.
Peter from Center. Just picking up on Giovanni's point, and I might have missed it, is there a reference to metrics that are being used to define what internationalization actually is? Is it employees, offices?
So there will be a survey coming out to the entire ICANN community on internationalization that the BDRC or the Board Governance Relations Committee has developed, and that we are looking to define exactly the metrics that the community would like to see us focus on in the sense of becoming more of an international organization. And we actually hope that everybody will participate and take the survey so that we can use this to define the more important metrics instead of just coming up with some put an office here or put an office there, and that's how we become international. So it's very important for us to hear from the entire community. And Kurt, I don't know if you want to add anything to that, but we've been asking for everybody to advertise this and ask for the input, because without your input, we will not be able to define the right metrics.
Were there other questions there? Comments?
Sure, I'm going to keep harping on the same thing. But I think, you know, particularly for you, Akram, you're sitting in a room full of operators. I think you can set the bar a lot higher than what we see here. And I think you'd have, I may be speaking out of turn for my colleagues here, but I think you'd have strong support if you set that bar a lot higher and built this foundation a lot stronger than what this would suggest to us in the community. I mean, you have the privilege of working in an incredibly dynamic industry that should attract the best and the brightest global. You have the luxury of no financial challenges, notionally speaking, for an organization in one of the most compelling industries going right now. I think you can set that bar a lot higher across the board and really turn around the organization itself and then allow it to then better develop some of the more sophisticated and challenging elements that get set on top of it. So I think that you can raise the bar a lot here as an organization, and that the people in this room and others would strongly support that.
So I appreciate this a lot, and I think that one of the things that is not showing in here very well is that the bar is set higher, the representation is not, like you said earlier, is not representing the goals of the organization in its transformation right now. But we are setting the goal much higher. We are setting the goal actually at an enterprise level much bigger than I can. But getting there with the current workload of the staff that's doing the changes as well as delivering on what they need to deliver day to day is one of our biggest challenges. It's not the goal that's lacking, it's actually the... And I may be more conscious of our spending than I should be, but I'm very focused on doing it with... that I'm doing it with other people's money, that I don't like to overspend to get the result. I don't want to hire outside consultants to do everything for us. I don't want, you know... So these are some of the challenges that keep us from maybe turning the corner within 24 months, and instead we'll probably turn the corner within 36 months from when the plan started. So these are the kind of things that maybe I should revisit, but that was the original plan.
I'm booking since quite a long time when I can, and I'm very often I see a lot, and I see very much that I can is trying to bring in people to ask for their comments. But very often when I see on the mailing list here this type of thing is out, we have drafted it, please come in for comments. While listening to you, is that you don't receive a lot of comments usually, and when I see that the answer of this, we try to incorporate people more, is we send out a survey and we are asking the people, I'm not sure that you will receive more answers than you receive usually. So maybe I don't have a good idea how you can actually come to another but maybe you should review the strategy of sending out 20 pages, 50 pages papers, asking for comments, receiving three of them and saying, fine, the community is happy. I'm not sure that that works on the long run. And I'm, at least for myself, I can speak. Sometimes I'll look, what's the issue about, how much pages, and I say, it's not worthwhile to read it, and therefore I don't comment. That doesn't mean that I don't have an opinion on the specific issue, but maybe you should think of, come into a dialogue with the community, how to come up with it with a better way of interaction where people actually really come in. Because sometimes I'm really exhausted about the material I receive, and that's, and I see, sometimes I look, oh, has somebody commented and I can send them me too? And usually it's only one or two, but even sometimes it's nobody commenting, and I'm not sure if that's the way forward to a dialogue. And it's really stressful when you say we will send out a survey. I'm not sure that you will receive a lot more answers and a lot more substantial answers. So maybe just, I don't have an idea how, but I think the current way of interaction is maybe improvable.
I mean, bear in mind when we started off with 3 to 5 years sort of horizon, I think there's something around evolving how we work. And I mean that quite broadly in terms of how ICANN works and how the community works, because I would query whether this model is still sustainable over that period. So I was talking the other day in the SONAC chairs meeting, and also we were talking today specifically in the CCNSO work planning session around the capacity of the volunteer force. So, you know, again, this is something within that longer term thing that maybe we should start thinking about now as to how sustainable that is. And we have a similar thing back in the UK, and I'm sure colleagues have similar experiences where we're putting out stuff for comments, you get one or two comments back, one says it's black, one says it's white, and you haven't got enough to help. If you put out something really controversial, you get a load of feedback, of course, but that's not kind of a good way to develop policy.
That's sort of nature of the public participation process. I actually read something called the Public Participation Handbook, and it said that, you know, if people don't want to comment, you can't stop them or something like that. And so that's a fundamental issue with all bottom-up models such as this. So I wonder, Byron, if the rationalization between your Akram's comment and yours about setting the bar higher really goes to, you know, how do we state our objectives in a strategic plan? You know, like you said, these almost border on operational in nature, you know, implementing software. And so being it long term, we can be fairly lofty, but we want to use words different than excellent or, you know, best in class. And so I'm trying to think of how to put it in a strategic plan that sets the appropriate bar and keeps it at a strategic level.
I'd like to find out if there's any thoughts on this idea of getting the feedback from the community. Everybody's having the same challenges. There's no real answers, but are there examples of engagement and involvement that's more effective, perhaps, than surveys? Is there something that ICANN ought to be considering doing differently?
Kurt, we just changed the way we do public comments based on the working group that did that work and came up with some feedback on that. But I think it's a tough problem. It's a tough nut to crack because the working group, when they came out with their recommendations, I don't think they were really radical changes that actually, you know, are going to cause us to all go, wow, this is going to, you know, change everything. So I don't know how, I don't know if you have more feedback on that that you want to share with the team on this. One of the things that we're trying, that I'm concerned with is what you want to call feedback fatigue, you know, which is you know, we put all of these things for reporting, and they come at you so fast that you just give up. And then you know, like you said earlier, you look at the subject, and then you decide if it's really, really, really worth your time to actually comment. And most times, you know, you pass on it. And the surveys are the same thing. And we're trying to centralize these things and try to space them out and give enough direction so that people get, you know, preparation time instead of just doing it at the last minute and stuff. But that's also minute changes. They're not, I don't think that they're going to cause any major upheaval in the feedback that we get. So it is a challenging issue. I don't know how we get to that, but I think there is a lot of elements to it. I think getting more people into the volunteering community, fresh blood that is more willing to do that, I think that could help. I think it could be a lot of small changes across the board that could help us instead of just one, you know, major change that's going to make all the difference. But we're open to any suggestions and any, you know, on that subject. So.
Thanks. Peter from Center. Just based on experience, when at Center we're considering how we can best get feedback, I always use as a rule that when we're gathering data, surveys are the best. When we're gathering opinions, writing our own paper and then asking for comments seems to work much better than asking for opinions through survey. Because then again, you end up with what Leslie says. You get black and white. You get people misinterpreting the questions. And when you send out a proposal, that can be quite controversial, though there is probably no need for that in this case. I think you'll get more substantial and more useful feedback.
In the interest of time, I'd like to move on to the last pillar, which we already know is probably the broadest and deserves the most attention. So can we talk about a healthy internet governance ecosystem for a moment and really reflect on how important that is to the environment in which ICANN operates and how to look at it in a more framed perspective, so it's not the world at large, but has some scope and definition. How about we go straight into comments on this?
Just because nobody else is saying anything, I'll fill the space. So I think, going back to my comment earlier, this is one that is very broad, and ICANN is but one player in this whole general, you know, healthy internet governance ecosystem. It feels to me, I mean, we've been doing a strategy process at Nominet, that this is one of the particular challenges over the next 1, 2, 3 years. Much more so than has been previously. So I don't know to what extent yet ICANN board or senior staff have been able to kind of think about the environment that you're operating in on this one, because this text kind of feels an iteration on from where we were last time, and everything's moved on since. But I think that for me, the thing that's kind of missing by that, but probably is implied in some of the words, is the working with the other organizations in this space, and particularly in terms of international stuff, you know, the ISOCs of this world, et cetera. But the ability to work with country codes and with GAC members to ensure that we are all working with our governments, I think somehow hasn't quite ever happened, and will need to be a key element of that over the next 1 to 2 years. Thank you, Leslie. Are there any other comments?
How does ICANN articulate a strategy for participating in the internet governance discussion in, either through the IGF or WICKET? How do we articulate a strategy for participating effectively, I think with a goal with the, you know, the continued well-being of the ICANN model in mind?
Maybe the strategy should be to develop a strategy, because I'm not sure there is one currently. So, how do you develop it? Well, normally you'd look at the environment, you look at what's happening, then you think, okay, so what the hell are we going to do and how are we going to do it? I mean, maybe I've missed stage, but I'm not sure that that's in place just yet. I'm not sure if it's really a strategic objective to be a really exemplary international whatever organization. It sometimes I think it's a chicken and egg situation. If you do your things right, if you come to your core objectives, if you do your operation very well, then you get the authority, you get the trust, and you get the evidence you need to be a truly trustful organization. So I don't think it should be the strategic goal to actually make the board believe that you are such an organization. But I think to some extent it's the result of your work. What makes it successful. So it's interlinked. Of course you have to of course, sometimes international work is part of your work, but you build on your operational success with regard to that.
How would you suggest that ICANN go about measuring, defining what those benchmarks or successes would be, and measuring if it is indeed to be an outcome of all the other work of the organization?
If somebody voluntarily gives you another additional task in 3 years, saying, yes, you are the organization, we want to have this additional task to do, then you were successful, because then you have earned the trust.
Nice man there. I mean, I think you're right that, you know, doing what you do really well is part of proving your space. But for me, the key words in that objective is multi-stakeholder. So particularly in the changing political environment, unless you can prove that you are doing multi-stakeholder things really well and demonstrate that's why multi-stakeholderism is the correct model for this space, then you could be operationally brilliant, but it's not going to be enough. So if we're talking about ICANN being a model of a multi-stakeholder success, as well as being operationally excellent, then that gets you there. But being operationally excellent on its own probably isn't going to be enough to defend that multi-stakeholder model, I think.
I think that's partly right. Of course, being a is obviously a multi-stakeholder model, but as long as it's not delivering things like really to those country are the NTLDs who need it, I'm sure. Nobody will be interested in the organizational framework of ICANN. So, of course, it's a chicken and egg situation, but I think that to some extent that something took far too long to deliver is part of the criticism of the people today.
Any other feedback on this topic? I think the what we heard is that perhaps there needs to be a clearly defined strategy that helps
frame exactly what is intended by this pillar and what some of the deliverables would be.
I just want to build on the comments that were made there. I think that excellence in operations will not solve the problem in and of itself, but it gives you the credibility to stand upon what really, in a sense, what gives the model its authority. And the beauty of the model is the multi-stakeholder element. And I think that this organization, I hope, can walk and chew gum at the same time, that they just take care of their core business in a very effective and excellent way, but also provide the forum that enables the multi-stakeholder model. And it's between those two and the interplay of those two things that you will then get the recognition of you know, hopefully being the benchmark of multi-stakeholder models.
So I agree with you, Byron, 100%. I think that, you know, doing our operations well is comparing ourselves to any other organization, that whether they do good or bad, or, you know, so it doesn't actually talk about our end product. And when you look at the multi-stakeholder model, that's really our differentiation. And if we can use our differentiation and make it better than the other alternatives, then that's when we are successful. So we need to have both. We need to have the operational excellency so that we can optimize our performance and perform at a high level, but also we need to make our multi-stakeholder model stand out as something that can not only bring everybody from, you know, bottoms up, but also deliver solutions and address issues so that it drives the pull for everybody to come there, because they know that if they come to ICANN, their issues, this is the right place for their issues to be addressed, and that we, you know, the ICANN can enable the solution, not necessarily that we solve it, but that we actually enable the solution efficiently.
Yeah, because I think it's the core operations piece that gives you trust. If you do that well, you will get trust. And upon that trust, if you do the multi-stakeholder model well, then you get legitimacy. And we need both in this organization, and we can't have one without the other. No matter how effectively we make a widget, that's only a piece of it. In order to have legitimacy, it's doing the multi-stakeholder piece well. And then together will enable us to tick off these boxes.
So this might be stating the painfully obvious, but to go back to our original question, where do we see ICANN in 3 to 5 years? Is it then an organization that has mastered the operational and the multi-stakeholder model to achieve that excellence?
It's that simple.
Go do it. All right, so just moving on, because I'm mindful of the time, we have to be out of this room a little bit earlier than we originally planned. So thank you so much for your participation and for feedback and speaking candidly. We will have the transcription from the recording, hopefully. We'll have notes that Carol has been taking very diligently. And what will happen next is that all of this will be considered and digested, and there will be a written response to this group that formulates what the next steps would be. And certainly this is all going to be very helpful in terms of the meetings in Prague, where we look to do this sort of a forum and framework even more effectively and productively in a broader group with representation not just from one organization but many different voices. So that really would speak to the multi-stakeholder point of view. So thank you very much.
Yeah, I'd just like to, Larissa, thank you so much. So this is Larissa's first exposure to anybody in ICANN at any time, anywhere. So a pretty stunning performance, I think. And just to put one more bullet under Larissa's to-do list, we took as, obviously still trying to explain the FSR,
We're also taking back a way to improve on our interactions with the community, the broad community, on formulating the strategic plan. So this will be very helpful in that, and then you can expect to see from us the results of that and a request to participate in the next round.
If you would, it'd be terrific.
So, again, thanks very much.